The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good, and you, I'm telling you, the word chop is one I haven't heard in ages. I also want to drive through the traffic here in Israel, which if anybody's driven through our traffic, you just want to roll down your window and say, Loliot chop.
There you go. I'm joined in studio by Gilly Apta. She's a comedian.
Hi, Rolene.
And,
hi, Gilly.
Yeah. So Rolene does our, you know, she's an Israel correspondent. Yes, you know, of course. All right, so let's talk about some of the news coming out of Israel. Minister of Strategic Affairs has threatened to ban amnesty. And the U.S. State of
First of all, let me say I'm blushing, Gidi, I'm blushing. But, yeah, today has been a day of epic BDS fails and smackdowns, and Strategic Affairs Minister Gilad Erdan has threatened to ban Amnesty International from Israel. And this is after they published their report, Destination Occupation, where they have accused travel groups like Airbnb, we know the situation with Airbnb, Booking.com, Expedia, and TripAdvisor, of profiting from war crimes by offering accommodation in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Now, of course, this hasn't gone down very nicely with the Israeli authorities or Jewish groups around the world who have said that Amnesty International is hypocritical and is promoting anti-Semitism. And by acting to promote a boycott of Israelis is part of a greater anti-Semitic delegitimization campaign. So those are strong words. And he's also instructed the ministry to look into the tax benefits that these organizations get. So activists or members of Amnesty International could be banned from coming into the country as well as having their tax benefits cut. So serious words. I mean, he must have heard us yesterday, Kathy. I mean, we were talking while standing on soap boxes and wearing stiletto shoes. So I know he listens to Chai FM. I know he does.
Okay, Rolene, can we get with some other stories? The U.S. state of Florida has put Airbnb on a list of scrutinized companies and recognizes Jerusalem as an undivided capital. Why is that important? I thought the entire United States did through their president.
Well, I think it is a precedent. I mean, we've got the federal government recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. However, in Trump's wording, he didn't say undivided capital. He was very, very careful. And you know, when all the outcry happened, everybody said, you know, is he mad? Look what he's doing. But, if, you know, on further analysis, he didn't speak about moving the embassy to East Jerusalem and Jerusalem's undivided. He just said Jerusalem's the capital. He didn't specify where. And if you look at where the embassy is currently situated, it's very much in West Jerusalem. But Florida definitely dealing Airbnb a smackdown today by not only recognizing Jerusalem as the undivided capital of Israel. So now we have a federal announcement, and now we have a statewide announcement, which is quite extraordinary considering that a lot of eyes are on the United States at the moment with some of the new members of Congress and their opinions on Israel. However, back to Florida, and Governor Ron DeSantis and his cabinet voted to place Airbnb on the state of Florida's list of scrutinized companies over their decision to remove listings of rooms and homes in the West Bank. So basically, Airbnb has 90 days to respond to this, and if they don't, the state could move to ban the pension fund, that the statewide pension fund, from investing in the company if Airbnb goes public. And coupled with that, the state cabinet has taken the decision that anybody who is traveling while working for the state is actually advised not to book travel accommodations through Airbnb. And their statement, or the statement from Ron DeSantis, who is the governor of Florida, he says this is not a policy that applies to all these disputed territories even-handedly. It singled out Israeli Jews in the West Bank. It does not apply the same delisting to Palestinian Arabs in the West Bank, and that is wrong, and that runs afoul of Florida law. So a bit of a smack from Ron DeSantis.
All right, can we talk about this Eurovision boycott?
Well, let's talk about Eurovision. I mean, you know, it's nearly 9 years in this country, and it's still fascinating to me to see how crazy everybody goes over Eurovision here. I mean, literally, it brings the country to a standstill. Everybody's glued to their TV.
Because you guys have won it so many times.
Yeah, but even when I was a kid, like culturally, my parents were always obsessed with Eurovision.
I don't understand. I mean, I know Eurovision has created ABBA and it's now created Netta Barzila, but to me, it's like where techie songs go for TV footage. But that is just my opinion.
All right. So who wants to boycott Eurovision?
Okay. Well,
I think you should either just let them. I think you should just let them boycott.
Well, we'll let them. I mean, it's Roger Waters and his merry band of followers. I mean,
was
I know
he performing
there's a collective
then?
Eye roll, you know, at the mention of Roger Waters, but he has gotten at least 50, UK-based artists to write a petition saying that, you know, they are calling on the BBC, not to broadcast the Eurovision Song Contest and B, that, Israel be dropped as the destination. Now, Israel is the destination because our very own Netta Barzila won Eurovision last year with her song Toy, which is very, very cool. And, I do confess to dancing like a chicken when I hear it because you have to. You have to. And anyone who says they don't is lying. But, they've called on, Israel to be dropped as the destination. Now, the BBC have responded by saying that the competition is not political and they've rejected, this call. And, the BBC said Eurovision's not a political event and does not endorse any political message or campaign, which is, quite a departure from the BBC because they're often faced with a lot of criticism for their coverage of Israel. And they say that the competition has always supported the values of friendship, inclusion, tolerance, and diversity, and we do not believe it would be appropriate to use the BBC's participation for political reasons. So that's quite strong words coming from the Beeb. And, you know, I often think if I ever had to sit down and have a face-to-face discussion with Roger Waters, I mean, could you see that happening? I would say to him, you know, there must be other regimes around the world that you dislike, but your singling out of Israel and in particular Israelis, you know, that smacks of something a little bit smelly to me. Just saying.
Just saying. So if you were going to move Eurovision, where would you move it to?
Well, this is the million-dollar question. You know, if you're not going to apply by the rules and give it to the winning country to host, where are you going to move it to?
Kathy's got a suggestion.
Yeah, Qatar. I think she'd move it to Qatar.
Well,
it could be so successful. I mean, think of how those outfits would go down, Rolene. Especially
somewhere in Qatar, there are men walking around with a splitting headache right now.
All right. And then very quickly, the Election Watch. Kulani's Kahlon is campaigning on issues of class. What does that mean?
Well, he had some fighting words last night and he had his rally and he unveiled his election campaign and this is the finance minister, Moshe Kahlon. He heads up Kulanu and he has released his campaign, Only Kahlon Cares. He has said that, and he's taken like a not so veiled jab at people like Gantz by saying, you know what happens to people without political experience who decide to enter politics. And incidentally, polls today show that if Gantz's Chosin Yisrael and Yair Lapid's Yesh Atid parties had to combine, then we would see a serious change in the regime in Israel. They would topple the Likud-led government. Very, very interesting indeed. But he has said that, you know, as finance minister, you know, he has managed over the last couple of years to bring down housing prices and to, you know, to make it easier for first-time buyers, especially amongst young people, to enter the housing market and to bring down the cost of living so that it's more affordable for all. And he says, we do care and we are only getting started. And he ended his rally by saying that the reason his predecessors did not solve these problems as finance minister is they did not care. So there you have it, everybody. Moshe Kahlon, head of Kulanu, launching his election campaign with only Kahlon cares.
Incredible. Rolene Marks, that's where we leave it. We wish you a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch up with you on Monday.
Shabbat Shalom, guys. Have a good one.
God bless. Bye, Rolene.